And did you hear that sound? That was the sound of the shofar. Shalom, Haverim. And welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web at whkwradio.com. Listen to us live there. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, along with Sheila Crawford, minister, teacher, and ongoing student of God's Word. And we're really glad you decided to join us tonight as we answer your end time questions. But first, let's invite the Lord and His Holy Spirit to be with us tonight, because we count on His wisdom for us.
And pray for yourself, John.
Yes, I am going to. Father God, Abba, you are our God and you are our healer. And you know when your servants get a little under the weather that even though that we go through trials, that you're with us. And I think that's my main prayer to you tonight, Lord, that all of us in the body of Christ that are going through trials, that you are right there with them. Even the ones that call us and write us with their prayer requests, Lord, I know you are so faithful and you've answered them before. We lift those up to you. And unsaved loved ones, we lift them up to you. You can open their eyes. They can see your cross of salvation. Lord, if you open their eyes, they will see it, and you know, the rest is history, as they say. And Lord, we thank you for providing funds for this program to remain on the air and to keep speaking the truth. And it's very important in these last days. And we just love you and bless you in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. And I'm just going to lift you up this week so that cold will go away and the sinus and the sore throat. And I'm just so grateful that you were able to come in and do the program with me tonight. We missed you last week.
You did. Yeah. Oh, it's nice. It's nice to be missed.
But anyway, every single listener tonight, if you could just hold John up this week and ask the Lord to heal his body totally, he will be so appreciative of that, I can tell you.
And so will his wife. That's for sure.
But shalom to all of you out there, and may God's grace abound in your life. It's unbelievable. The first quarter, though, of the year is gone. That is fast. It's going so fast, wouldn't you say, John?
Yep, and every day we get closer to that shofar sound that comes from heaven. And I understand tonight it's not going to go the way I thought it was going to go. Tonight we're going to be handling FAQs, which are frequently asked questions, and we get a lot of them. And these have come in the last few months, and I think they deserve it. They deserve a good answer to these questions, right?
Yeah, I've already, talked to the people that have sent in the questions ahead of time. I try to do that right away, either by email or sometimes I even call them personally.
Yeah, you're pretty good about that.
Yeah, but these are questions that I think maybe other people have and just didn't want to ask, or maybe they're afraid to be on the air. So tonight, if you have a question and you don't want to be on the air, our producer Derek says, you just call him, and he will write it down, and he will bring it into me, and then you don't even have to
be on the air if you don't want to. And that's a good alternative. Yeah, we're taking questions we've received before and live questions on the
air. That's right. We're doing both.
And the phone lines are open, and I'll give you the number right now. It's 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. Also, if you have missed any of our programs, especially about the Mother of Harlots, that Babylon that we discussed in that first quarter of the year, you can go to the archives. They're all there, shofarministries.net, to listen to any of our past programs, really. They're all labeled. So, hey, you don't want to be on the air? Well, you said that.
Uh-huh. I've already said it.
Yeah. Well, I guess that brings us to our segment of news, right?
It does. All right. Well, let's talk about North Korea.
Okay. They've been making the news headlines.
Yes, they have. I think that's probably first and foremost. But, they're pretty concerned about that. But I have to say, North Korea has always rumored war intentions. Mm-hmm. And they've done it just to gain favors.
Yes.
And they have gotten some.
They have. And you know, the old man passed away, Kim Jong-il, right? Mm-hmm. But this is his son now, okay? And he's following in his father's footsteps.
Yes, and he's trying to be a little more precarious, I would say, a little more stronger, and wants to make more of an impression with his people.
Exactly.
To gain some concessions, okay? And he might, because there's some sanctions still going on with him. But who knows? But the main thing is the fruit of the tree doesn't fall far from it, you know?
Yeah.
So Kim Jong-un might be a little more boisterous, but in my opinion, I don't see this more than
just
heavy rhetoric.
Yeah, it builds them up in the eyes of the people because they really, really need that because they don't really have a leg to stand on if they really knew.
And they don't know anything. They don't even get news.
They don't get news. Isn't that sad?
And all he does is keep saying, well, I'm fighting the Americans and all the other people so that you'll have food.
Well, I'll tell you something else. This Kim Jong-il. Now, he's been,
No, the
son, Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Yes, he has been meeting with Iran way more than his father did, right?
Well, it has been reported as such. And again, this could just be a ploy to get our attentions away from Iran's final touches to the nuclear program and onto North Korea. Okay?
Mm.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
But by the way, Iran has said, though, don't worry about us. We're not going to enrich any more than the required 20% because we've got an election coming up in June and we certainly don't want any problems. Well, let me tell you something. They lie. They're going to continue doing what they need to do to get that nuclear program running. But in the meantime, North Korea is probably sidetracking our attention while they continue on. But Ahmadinejad will be leaving. It seems inevitable because
he doesn't get along with the Ayatollah too.
No, they have not been getting along in quite a while, actually. So with Ahmadinejad gone, the Ayatollah can actually maybe even join that fake peace plan that the Antichrist is going to sign because everybody's going to do it, I guess. So anyway, I want to say is that everything is coming together and the man of sin is about to show his face.
About to be revealed. And let's now shift to center stage. What's going on in Israel right now?
Oh, some really great news, thank goodness. Do you remember us reporting that they had actually dug and found a gas well back in 2009?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, they named it Tamar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is now flowing.
Wow.
And it's early. They didn't think it was going to be able to, you know, do it so quickly. And I guess it's a real good flow. It's in the Mediterranean Sea near Haifa, expected to really to turn Israel from energy poor to a gas exporter, probably to Europe, in just a few years. Now, that's really amazing.
Well, that's good news for Israel. Very good
news. It's very good news for Israel. But, John, do you know who is right now the leading gas exporter to Europe?
Yes, I do. It happens to be Russia.
You're right.
And they have a monopoly in it. And maybe this is the hook that's going to be set in Russia's jaw that Ezekiel in his chapter 38 describes.
God says, I'm going to put a hook in your jaw.
Yeah.
This is it.
This,
I mean, I tell you what, the hairs are standing on my head when you, on my head too,
there
I guess.
There are some hairs.
I
just looked at your head. There are some hairs there.
But I get so excited when I see prophecy coming together.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, well,
up until now, there has been no reason for Russia to even want any part of Israel.
Not really. I mean, they're allies with Iran, but Iran hates the Jews. It's anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
And I suppose Russia probably doesn't like them either, but still no big reason. But this will be it because they do not want to lose that exporting to Europe.
Do you think they'll try to sabotage it?
Does China have rice?
Does China have rice? Oh, there's our lovely producer, Derek. How are you doing?
Well, the security is going to be really high.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And the problem is I hope it doesn't supersede the profits.
Really? High security is high cost?
But already sending the Navy ships around there to protect it.
Gee, well, we're really seeing the stage being set for the Antichrist, aren't we?
Yeah.
Everything's
God has
set
it
up.
All under control.
Wow.
And you know what he says.
Mm-hmm.
All in the fullness of time.
Anything else?
Yes, one more bit of news. Israel's put up a field hospital at the border with the Golan Heights.
That's significant.
It is significant. All of a sudden, there's this hospital like out in the desert.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
pretty amazing. But apparently Al-Qaeda, now, by the way, they already have attained some chemical weapons that they bought from the rebels.
Mm-hmm.
However, the last report I got today was that they are actually approaching a chemical depot, yeah,
mm-hmm.
where Assad is actually keeping some chemical weapons, and Al-Qaeda is almost there, and they're going to get it.
Oh.
So there's going to be some problems because Israel does not want them to get it, so we're going to see what's going to happen. But apparently Al-Qaeda is trying to take over now the southern border with Jordan, and then which would be the northern part of Jordan, and trying to disrupt a major water output from the Yarmouk River and its tributaries, which supplies water to Israel and Turkey. And that's not good.
Nope.
So they are keeping a close watch on that.
There'll be some action taken on that. I'll guarantee you that.
Yeah, but you know something's going to happen when Israel puts up a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I have to say, Israel is very humanitarian, and they do minister to anyone who gets hurt.
I guess they're taking care of some of those refugees from the Syrian conflict.
Yes,
and they're coming
they
over. They're giving them free hospital treatment.
Right, so that's probably another reason for it.
Yeah.
But I do have to mention that Sunday there were incidents of mortar and gunfire towards the Israel border.
Wow.
Okay. In fact, it went over the Israel border.
Hmm.
Now, this has happened a couple times before. It's kind of rare. And Israel does respond. And it seems to stop it for a while.
Well, who do you think's really doing it? Is it the rebels or is it Assad's army?
It's hard to say.
Hmm.
It's hard to say.
Can't really
tell. Logically, you would think it was from Assad that actually spilled over because it's going in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing is ever as it seems, John. Al-Qaeda could be doing it to try to get Israel involved to go after Assad.
Oh, you don't really think that's going to happen, do you?
You have to be really tricky with all this, you know. No,
I don't really
I do not. Israel will protect its borders, but they're not going to get involved. After all, both groups are their enemies. Who do you get involved with?
Right.
Either one, they're going to go after Israel.
Doesn't
matter.
Well, now let's see in the news, we're at the point where the next item is huge.
Oh, that's right. I do have another item.
You do have another item, and it's huge, and you'll find out why. Tell us why.
An historic agreement was signed in Amman just Sunday between Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas and Jordan's King Abdullah. To accept, okay, Jordan's King Abdullah is going to be the custodian now of the Palestinians' holy sites with authority over the Palestinian police, and he now will be the representative in all relevant international forums.
Like the UN and stuff?
Yes,
wow.
He will be their representative.
My, that's a huge power turnover.
Well, this union establishes the foundation for internationalizing the oversight of Jerusalem's holy sites for all three major religions, Christianity, Catholicism, and
Islam.
Now, remember, last month I reported that Israel granted the Pope a seat in Jerusalem in the city of David.
Mm-hmm.
That's an actual throne that he's probably going to put up.
And that is right in Jerusalem, and it's not on the Temple Mount, is it?
No. No, I could see him scooting in there somehow.
When you say throne, that means power, you know.
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Over, I'm not sure what yet, but it's big.
So do you mean? Does that mean he's going to be running the Catholic Church there?
You know, it doesn't surprise me if he has a throne in Rome and a throne in Jerusalem. And just like the Antichrist will, you know.
Wow, of course, yeah, that's interesting.
And I think the Antichrist will have a throne in Babylon as well. That's a whole other program.
Okay.
But anyway, so instead of the Palestinian Authority now, Israel will engage with the Jordanian government in discussions of matters pertaining to the two-state solution and the Temple Mount, as well as hypersensitive security arrangements. Since Jordan and Israel peace treaty in 1994, they really do get along pretty well. So I guess we'll see how many compromises Israel's going to be making, because they will.
Mm-hmm.
They will.
Yeah, they will.
I mean, they just will. The Bible even says so. And I believe this peace agreement is where the Palestinians will acquire the West Bank for their state. It will be a two-state Israel. And East Jerusalem, I'm afraid, will be Palestinians' capital.
Yeah, and that's very sad because this is the area that was promised to Abraham and his descendants forever.
Well, they're going to get it eventually.
Yeah, they are.
But right now, this is going to happen because the Bible says so. It's very plain in Joel. But soon after this happens, the Antichrist will have to confirm it.
Confirm what? The treaty?
The treaty that they're going to be starting to make up now.
Okay.
And Daniel 9:27 talks about that. And then, of course, once he signs that, the tribulation begins. And, of course, we won't be here for that. So we really won't see that.
Wow. Well, that was this has been exciting tonight.
That is pretty exciting.
That's
yeah.
pretty exciting news for the PA just to turn over all their authority to the King of Jordan.
That's right.
Huh. Amazing.
Amazing. After Obama just left there last week.
Uh-oh.
Who knows what happened there, huh?
Wow. Well, listen, once again, listeners, you can go to our archives, shofarministries.net, to listen to any of our past programs. The phone lines are open as well. And I think we did get a call. We got a question in here. If you'd like to comment or you have a question, it's 888-677-WORD.
Can you please remind people that they have to keep it to an end time type of question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Please make it end time related. Okay?
Yeah.
And I do want to mention that we will be conducting our monthly fellowship gathering this Friday in Chesterland. I've never heard it called that before, but as we all get together, and it's the first Friday of every month, and we'll be in Chesterland 7 p.m. at 11815 Chillicothe Road, Route 306. Sheila Crawford, our Bible teacher, and myself as a worship leader, and wonderful people that attend, and we all get to ask you questions.
Yes, you do.
And you stop and actually answer them for us. So that's really neat.
Well, I love doing that.
Yeah.
But before we get to the major questions, let's just take this time to take a short break.
Okay.
Because, John, you had sent me that song last week that was just so beautiful. And I loved it so well that I sent it to our producer. And he said that he would play it for us.
And I'm so glad he did. And this song is very good. And it's the Lord's Prayer.
It is.
And I've been saying the Lord's Prayer a lot.
And do
lately.
You remember who the author is? Sister Mead?
Sister Janet Mead.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's from the 70s. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another reason I like it.
But it's a very beautiful song.
It is very pretty.
And it's very.
And it does stay in your head, people. I have to tell you that you'll be singing this all night.
Okay. Well, let's let our producer Derek take
Don't
it away.
Don't go away. We'll be back.
It is in heaven.
sounded good. Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song by that was by Sister Janet Mead.
And it's always nice singing scripture, isn't it?
It is.
It really
That's
is.
How you remember it, okay? Hey, you guys out there have questions for Sheila? Well, for one thing, show up Friday night. The other thing, you can have her speak at your church and or your group, and to get her to do that, just email her at Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net, or just call the office. The phone number is 440-834-9006. And this is a very important thing. I want to remind you that your donations are still very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. And we would love you to partner with us, keep us on the air. We don't make any money on this, but we do get God's word out, and we get prophecy out, and it's blessing people, and we know that from
our Darn my treasures in heaven.
Yeah. And to do that, just send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021, or use PayPal on our website, and that's real simple. And all donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So include your address, whether it's email or the house address, okay?
That's right. And, of course, email is always easy, especially for me, because I can just send it to you. You can print your own out.
Mm-hmm.
You can share it with others or just forward it because it's on the computer, which is we're so blessed to have all that stuff. But
yes, ma'am.
Make sure that you do share the information, especially the mini gold nuggets that it often contains. I try very hard to do that for you. Some great teachings, and they are also all archived on ShofarMinistries.net.
And that's where you'll find all our newsletters and previous radio shows archived. And you can order them there, the teaching DVDs there as well. And again, the phone lines are open. The number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. The Shofar Ministries Hour is live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Glad you joined us. Why not recommend this program to a friend? Also, if you live in the Cleveland area, mark your calendars for this Friday and the first Friday of every month, because we're at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, and that's at 11815 Chillicothe Road, and that starts at 7 p.m. That's Route 306, by the way, Chillicothe.
That's right, and we won't be canceling now for snow. That's over.
That's over. You think. You
yeah.
think. Well, we need to continue with our frequently asked questions.
Yes, and we did get a caller to send in a question, and I do want to remind you to try to keep them to prophecy and end times. But in a way, John, this is an end time question because there's a lot of yucky translations of the Bible out there because it's the end times.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good question. Of course it is. Certain ministries claim that the King James Bible is the only version you should read. What are your versions and John's thought on the subject as well? All right.
Mm.
First of all, I want to say that I like the King James Bible, except it has about 2% error. Like, for instance, they changed the word from Passover in Acts to Easter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's got some mistakes. However, the mistakes are well known now. And so the New King James has fixed all those mistakes. So I use a New King James, and I pretty much will continue to do so. I don't really care for most of the versions because there's a lot of problems with it. And we don't have time to get into that, but you probably all know what I mean. But I do like the New King James. That's what I use. I do want to recommend, though, that because I'm a teacher, and if you're a teacher out there, you don't want to teach anything without first checking it in the original. And it's called the Interlinear Bible.
The original language.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Masoretic text in the Old Testament and the Textus Receptus I use in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So the Interlinear is what I use. It's by Hendrickson Publishing, I believe, mm-hmm. or Sovereign Grace, one of those two. And the neat thing about it is that not only is the English right underneath the Hebrew, it has the Strong's number right on top of each word. So it saves you from having to find out what the number is to look up the definition.
Right, yeah.
Now, again, it is to the Strong's Bible, so sometimes you have to actually look in the King James Bible if you're reading that to get the proper word. But there's a lot of other concordances out there, too.
Now, you wanted to know John's opinion on this. I'll tell you, there are a lot of translations, and they are just this. They're translations. They are not the original language. They're translations. They're going to be fallible.
Well, then there's paraphrase, too.
Well,
that's
there's
even
paraphrase.
Worse.
Well, I don't want to say every. I say all translations are good, and the more the better. That's how I look at it.
What does that mean?
But that means that there's certain ways that you can get the English across to people that they wouldn't get in the King James. I mean, if you don't study.
Oh, I see.
You know, if you
so
haven't.
It's like reading notes to what the Bible says, the paraphrase.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Okay,
exactly. If it gets the message
you're
across,
right,
that's
right,
fine.
Right.
But if you want to split hairs, you know, you can go learn the original language. Anybody can do that. But I think the more the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The
so
King
I...
James doesn't have a. Doesn't have the copyright on. They're not the final word.
No, no, there's mistakes, and again, I just can't get
well,
through that old English. It's just,
well,
and you know what? Here's the other thing, John, is that people, if they're brand new,
yeah,
they will not read their Bible as much if it's a King James.
Well, see, that's my thing.
They
yeah.
won't pick it up as much.
Right.
So that's this other thing that you got to deal with. So let's be sensible. And
one more quick thing too, the King James Bible. This is why I like it. It doesn't leave anything out.
Okay.
A lot of newer versions leave things out.
Okay, gotcha.
So,
all right.
That's a good reason right there.
All right, let's go on to another question. You've got a couple of them there.
Yeah, okay. Now, this one, I don't know when it came in. You just got a question here. It says, what about the righteous who make it through the tribulation? Will they first die and then be brought back? The tribulation question.
Okay, well, I'm not quite sure what the second part really he means, but I'm going to say, first of all, that if you're righteous now,
mm-hmm.
you're going in the rapture.
Ah.
Now, the righteous in the tribulation, of course, will be called the tribulation saints. Now, if they make it through the tribulation, and I know some will,
mm-hmm.
okay, although many won't, they'll be martyrs. They'll go up and they will wait the part B of the resurrection, basically. They'll wait under the altar until the end of the tribulation is over. So, no, if they die, they're going under the altar, and then they will get a resurrected body at the end. And those that make it through the tribulation will stay human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And
okay.
they will go in to help populate the millennial kingdom. There will be human beings in the millennial kingdom. And, in fact, 144,000, none of them will die.
That's right.
And they will help populate and expand.
Mm. So they'll just keep on living? And they'll probably
right.
Get married, have children, and repopulate the
well,
earth.
Well, they can. They'll still be human.
Yes.
That's right.
That'd be the thing to do.
And if you want to read more about that, there's Isaiah 66 kind of like says a lot of good things. And 65 about the millennial kingdom.
Isaiah 65 and 66.
Yeah, it talks about how
65.
Those that have children, there'll be no pain.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Stuff like that. So it's kind of cool.
So, yeah, in the millennium. Yeah, that's
yeah.
really nice. Okay. Well, here's another one. Since the Antichrist is called the Assyrian in Isaiah 27, do you think that he will be a Muslim?
Get that question a lot. Personally, from the studies that I've been doing, and especially the more research that I do on Rome,
mm-hmm.
I do not think the Antichrist will be a Muslim. I think he'll be Roman.
You think so?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel 9:26-27, right in there, says that it'll be a person from the group of people that destroyed the temple in 70 AD. Those were Romans. Titus was a Roman.
Okay. Yes.
So that's my impression. Now, as far as the Assyrian goes, that is just a title for a very evil person. Okay. And there's a lot of idioms and expressions
mm-hmm.
that describe the Antichrist. In fact, he's even called the King of Babylon.
Oh, okay.
He has a lot of titles.
Well, those that are familiar with Bible prophecy will know that there are titles.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, the Assyrian was actually, the Assyrian Empire included Syria and Iraq, if I can remember that correctly. So that includes Babylon as well.
It does.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
So, but he has a lot of names, besides the King of Babylon, which is in Isaiah 14, I think it's 4, plus Son of the Morning, he's called the Spoiler, Man of Perdition, of course,
yeah.
Man of Sin, the Lawless One, the Beast.
Well, he does have many titles, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Assyrian is actually just a title for a very evil person or a type of the Antichrist.
Oh, okay.
And there's been many titles.
And there has been many, including Pharaoh. And I think
exactly.
Pharaoh is even referred to, I think, in Psalms as the Assyrian. But I don't know if that's literally he was an Assyrian.
Okay.
It's a pretty good answer. So we're not looking for Muslims. We're looking for a...
No, and I know there's a lot of people that's going to disagree with me in that. And that's okay because we're really going in the rapture. We're not going to really know who it is anyhow.
Well, that's true. But what
but
is this?
I'll
is
tell you, what I studying that I've been doing, it's wow, Rome. That's all I can tell you.
Would you mind telling me a little bit just about the connection between Roman Catholicism and Islam?
Oh.
Can you do that in a minute or
less? Well, I don't think anyone will believe me. That's the problem. I mean, it's just so out there that I try to curtail myself because I don't want them to all think that I'm nuts, you know, and then not turn in anymore. But
but you don't deny.
There is talk. Let's put it this way. I have read from an ex-Jesuit that apparently the Vatican actually many years ago encouraged Muhammad to be who he is, and then his army was supposed to help the Vatican. Now, basically, his army got too big, you know, and then they decided they wanted Jerusalem, where really they were supposed to get it for the Vatican. So then the Vatican had to get the Crusades put together to fight the Muslims.
Hmm.
But originally, the Muslims were to have an army, and it was for the Pope.
Wow.
Yeah, so do your homework, you know, look it up. Don't blame the messenger here.
Well, I know. Don't murder the messenger. But I know we have that picture of Pope John Paul II kissing a Quran.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so they're trying to make up now because they want the whole one world religion thing to go through, which is why they're embracing Judaism and the Jews. And the Jews love him as well, and he's just making all kinds of points.
Well, yes, he is. He's doing really well in that department.
And it's total deception. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a Jesuit. He had to take that horrible, horrible oath, whoever many years ago he did. And yeah, it's all deception. Mm. We're living in the very final days, and that's how I feel.
Okay. Well, I got to tell you, the questions are running really heavy for people want to know about the tribulation, and it seems to be a subject of a lot of these questions. And I think it is because of the horrible news stories we're getting these days that make people think that, wow, we are getting near the end, and evil is getting worse. It's getting darker. It's getting more evil. So these questions seem to be running a lot about the tribulation. This one is, if you reject the truth now, can you still be saved in the tribulation? Now, 2 Thessalonians 7, or chapter 2, verses 7 through 12 makes me think that. But what do you think?
Oh, you know what? That's famous scriptures that even some pastors will use to scare people. And that's fine. Whatever way it gets them saved, fine. Mm-hmm. But to tell them that if you don't get saved now, once the rapture happens, you know, you'll be left behind and you won't be able to get saved.
Oh, wow.
You know, and that's definitely a misnomer. That's not what 2 Thessalonians 2:7 through 12 says. Well, and I think we should turn to that.
Yeah, let's see. What does it say exactly? Because that's an awful thing to have happen.
Yes, let me just turn to it. I know it's here somewhere.
I thought our God is a God who wants us to repent. In Proverbs, he says, "Repent when I reprove, I'll pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you."
Yes.
Did that ever happen to you? It happened to me.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's follow along with me. If you're out there, have your Bibles handy. And any time you listen to the show, always have your Bible handy.
That's right. And a paper, piece of paper and a pencil, too.
That's right. So we're going to talk about the lawless one. We're starting verse 7.
Of chapter 2?
Yes.
Okay.
2 Thessalonians 2.
Oh, I'm in 1 Thessalonians. Goodness.
Well, I'm even going to start in 6.
Okay.
"And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." And that is definitely the Holy Spirit living in us.
Mm-hmm.
"And then," and notice it says, "and then." Okay, so the restrainer leaves, and then...
So this is indicating a sequence in time.
The lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed. Not before, we can guess, but, you know.
Okay.
"Whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." That's Revelation 19.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's doomed. But in verse 9 it says, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders." He's going to have so many miracles, people will just be so sure that it's God.
Yep.
"And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, okay? Mm-hmm. So now we're talking here in the tribulation.
Okay.
Deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they may be saved. We are talking about those that are left behind.
Yes.
They're about to perish because they won't receive the love of the truth.
Okay.
That they might be saved. So you see, it's after the rapture because verse 8 says, and then the lawless one will come.
So in the tribulation, you still have a choice.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. This is not applied to someone now.
Right.
And saying that then that's too late. It's not true. This is after you're in the tribulation, and these people still will not receive the love.
It might be too late for some of your plans, but it's not too late for you to for God's plan.
And if they still refuse, because that's why I tell people, make sure that the people you're witnessing to, if they won't accept Jesus now as their Lord and Savior, and they end up in the tribulation, tell them to get saved immediately before that delusion comes across them.
Yes, so it will be strong.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it even says here in verse 11, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Well, what is the lie? John 2.
First John 2, verse 22?
Yes, you have that written
down. I
have
that written down
there.
And who is a liar but anyone who says that
Jesus is not God.
Yeshua is not God. Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I remember
that's
the verse.
That's the lie.
That's the lie.
Mm-hmm. So.
Wow.
Yeah, so that, I hope, helps the person that sent this in. Mm. And I think that makes a lot more sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because God doesn't want anyone to perish. I mean, goodness gracious.
No, he doesn't. He is merciful.
In fact, the rapture is going to be that catalyst that's going to help people get saved.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we're going to keep getting questions coming in over the phone. You want to take one of those, or should we?
Yes.
Okay. We just got a call, and then we got a question.
Okay. Are the Antichrist or his family aware of what they will become? Very good question.
Whoa.
I don't think so. I really doubt that they know that they are going to be the Antichrist. But you know what? I wouldn't know for sure. I mean, who would know?
Who would know?
And
this sounds like
a
good idea for a TV miniseries, though.
That's right. Yeah, I really doubt it. Although, I'll tell you what, there's some really evil people out there that follow Satan. And I don't think they would even care, some of these people.
Yeah.
You know?
I really think they would be bold enough. The evil's getting bolder,
and I
think they would be bold enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But do they know?
Probably not.
I don't think so, because I think they're going to be just as deceived, because they're such big deceivers. See, because it says evil men will go on being, go on deceiving and being deceived. So if you're deceiving other people, you're going to be deceived. And they probably are deceived into thinking, I'm not the Antichrist or whatever. But that's a good question, though.
Yeah, it is. I've been asked that before, but my guess at this point is no.
Oh, okay.
But that's just my opinion.
All right.
No scripture that backs up on that.
Well, I've got another question for you, if you think you can handle it.
Oh, thanks.
Well, you've done really well.
John, I'll see what I can do.
Well, you've done real well with the first five. Let's see what you do with this one. This one says, how could Jesus return when the gospel has not been spread worldwide? Or do you think the gospel has been spread worldwide?
Okay, well, when you say return, if you mean bodily to the earth, Revelation 19, he won't. But if you're talking about him calling us up in the air for the rapture.
I don't know what they're talking about.
Okay, well, let's just say it's the rapture.
Okay.
Okay? Yes, the rapture can happen at any moment because the gospel will not be spread worldwide until and during the tribulation, Matthew 24:14. Let's turn to that.
Ooh. Wow, I wasn't expecting that answer.
Well, you know.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah. Pretty plain, actually.
Yeah, and it is.
We know that Matthew 24 is describing the tribulation period.
Mm-hmm. And the good news of the kingdom or the gospel about the kingdom will be announced throughout the whole world as a witness to all the nations. It is then that the end will come.
That's right.
So that's another sequence in
time. Yeah, in fact, I'm thinking that the 144,000 are going to be witnessing in Israel for the first 3.5 years.
Uh-huh.
Okay, as well as the two witnesses, which I believe, in my opinion, is Elijah and Moses, because they do the same things that Elijah and Moses
They have the
did.
Same, they're able to call the same
And Enoch
plagues
was a picture of the church that gets raptured.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, and besides that, Enoch was not Jewish, so blah, blah, blah. But if you read this in context...
But he was Goddish.
Yeah. As you read the whole thing in Matthew 24, you realize that he is describing the tribulation. So, and verse 14 just says, the very end of the 7 years won't come until everybody has heard the gospel.
Everybody.
In one way or another.
Exactly.
Even if it's someone, Jesus himself, you know, showing himself.
Well, you know, it has, I'm watching a video from 2007 about the house church in China. Mm-hmm. The house churches in China. And you know what? It just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and it's going into every corner and crevice of that huge country. And
wow.
They can't suppress it. The more they try to suppress it, the larger it grows.
Well, that's why the devil got into Constantine, because he saw that. He saw that with the church of Smyrna, that they were being martyred. But the more they were being martyred, the church was growing faster.
Yeah.
So he got a hold of Constantine, and he says, well, here's a cross up in the sky. Now you got to make everybody Christian, but don't leave the pagans out. Make sure you get them in there, too. And there was that compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly the gospel started getting less and less.
Less and less.
And then they went into the Dark Ages, and all is history.
That's history. Okay. Where are we at now? Let's see.
Good. Do you have another one there anywhere?
Yes. I like this one. Are there different levels to hell?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of people
don't even believe there's hell, so listen up on this one.
Yes. According to the Bible, I believe that we can infer that there are different degrees of hell. Let's turn to Revelation 20.
I know you guys listening probably think we're all high-tech here, but here we are flipping through our Bible.
No, I don't. I still use the Word because I'm old.
Uh-huh.
I don't use the computer.
Well, I'll tell you, you do not look old at all, especially on the radio.
You didn't have to say that. I didn't pay you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Revelation 20, 12 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
It says, talking about now this great white throne judgment. This is the second of two resurrections. There's the first resurrection, and then there's the last resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
The first resurrection has three phases to it, but the last resurrection only has one,
mm-hmm.
and it's at the end of the millennial kingdom called the Great White Throne Judgment.
Okay.
And this is where all the dead, unrighteous dead, will be.
Okay.
Okay?
Two resurrections. This is the last one.
That's right.
Okay.
And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each according to their works.
Mm.
So that gives you the impression that Hitler is probably going to suffer more than Grandma Jones next door that just never made Jesus Lord of her life. Do you see what
yeah.
I'm trying to say?
Yes, I do.
And, you know, in Proverbs 24:12, it says that he will render to each one according to his deeds.
To his deeds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So God is fair.
Well, and it's similar yeah. to the rewards that we're going to get mm-hmm. after we get in heaven, those that are righteous. We
mm-hmm.
will get rewards according to our deeds. But these people who did not accept Christ will also get rewards according to their deeds.
Yes.
But it'll be how bad were you.
Yeah, and I, you know, this brings up a question that I always had, and that was how could God, knowing that we're born into sin, you know, and how could he, a loving God, throw anyone into hell? And, of course, the answer is we make that decision.
Yes.
We make that decision. I don't care what kind of sin that you were in or have been in or are planning to get into, but God's able to take you and turn that sin around and give you a new life and a plan
oh,
for
yeah.
your life.
Look at us.
I know. And we're good examples of this.
That's
and,
right.
you know, wherever the disease is with God, there's the cure right next to it. And
that's
the
right.
cure is to receive Jesus as your personal Savior and
Amen.
Repent. You know, that's the cure. It's right there.
For those of you out there that are taking notes, write down Luke 23:41. You can look it up later. But it infers the same thing. There's due rewards for our deeds. Another one is Matthew 23:14. And it's Jesus speaking to the hypocrites that they will receive greater condemnation. Now, think about that.
That's pretty clear.
That's pretty clear.
Yeah, that is.
Greater. So
mm-hmm.
that's a good one. Second Corinthians 11:15 I have written here in the sideline of my Bible, and I'm not quite sure what that means, but look it up. And Revelation 2:23 is another one. And then the one in Second Timothy 4:14, Paul says, Alexander did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works.
Oh.
So I believe that when you study all those scriptures that I've given you, that you will come to the same conclusion that they will suffer according to their deeds, what they've done.
What they've done. Yeah, and that makes sense because God is fair. I mean, more than fair. He is the truth. So.
And I just want to expound a little bit on that resurrection again. Okay. There's only two resurrections, the first and the last. The first resurrection has three phases. The first one was Jesus. He was the first fruits. And I believe at that time, soon after, about 500 were raised as well.
Right.
And then they walked the earth for a little while. And we don't know a lot of details on that. Neither do I. But then the next phase of the first resurrection, which just means righteous resurrection. There's the righteous resurrection and the unrighteous.
And that's the great white throne.
Yes.
Okay.
So the second phase to the first resurrection, or the righteous, is us. When we go up and we receive our new bodies, we join those that are righteous in the air that have already died. Okay? And then the last phase would actually be those that are up in heaven under the altar that suffer and get killed during the tribulation period will be like the third phase when they receive their new bodies.
And when will that be?
At the end of the tribulation.
At the end of the tribulation?
Right. So then they can come back with us on the horses.
Ah.
They won't be the bride.
Right.
Okay, but they will have a special place.
So there are three groups of elect right there, you just said.
Okay.
But and they all belong to the first resurrection.
That's right, because they're all righteous.
They're all righteous. That's and that's right. What they have in common.
That's right.
Yeah.
And in 1 Corinthians 15:23. I don't have time to go because we're running out of time. But it says Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection, and then us, but everyone in its order.
Okay. It does say that?
Yes, everyone in
its
order.
I'm going to write that down.
Okay.
That's 1 Corinthians?
Yes.
15:23.
Well, we have a quick second. Let's turn to it just because it is really
important.
A very good one.
Got my attention with that one, I'll tell you.
Well, how about that? I just turned right to it.
Well, see, that's the Holy Spirit.
Oh, no, that was 1 Corinthians.
That's what we want.
No, it's 2nd.
I thought it was 1 Corinthians 15:23.
No, 2 Corinthians 11:15.
Oh, 11:15. I got the wrong one circled here. Okay.
That's all right. Okay.
You read it. You got it.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his... Oh, maybe I was wrong.
Maybe it is 1 Corinthians. Good thing we...
Okay, sorry.
Well, it's a good thing we're checking this out, huh?
Yes. All right. Well, you can all go to your Strong's and figure out where that is.
Oh, my. It's not 2 Corinthians.
Yeah, sometimes I make mistakes.
Oh, okay.
Can you give Hard us? To believe, isn't it?
Yes. No.
So anyway, it's the one that talks about the resurrection and that each one in his own order.
Each one in its own order. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Very good. Well, that's a challenge. We'll have to go back and look up resurrection in our Strong's and then... And look for where that occurs in the two books of Corinthians.
Yeah.
And that should solve that little problem. I do have a Strong's at home.
Oh, I just found it. Let me read it quick.
Oh, okay, good.
Now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, it is 1 Corinthians 15, and it's verse 20.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 20? That's what we're saying. Okay, good. That's a good answer for that question. A lot of people have that question.
I know it is. Mm. So, Derek, how much time do we have left? Okay.
No, for the program, not for our lives.
I think we have to say bye-bye.
Oh, no.
We got 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
Yeah.
That's it? All right.
Yeah.
Well.
So, this was fun.
This was fun. Some of those questions I could have asked. Let me, a listener, if you've never made Jesus Lord over your life, or maybe you're just concerned you might be one of those that have had knowledge of him, not really the heart conviction. Just get on your knees right now. God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Amen.
Seek him diligently. It says that in Hebrews. And he will reward you with eternal life. Admit your sins to him. Confess. So that's what confess means. It just means, admit, okay, it's a sin. All right? And he knows that. He knows that, and he will forgive you, and he will pour out. He says, I'll pour out my spirit. You turn when I rebuke you, and I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I'll make my words known to you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a cool promise that is. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul goes, and that never dies. Your soul never dies. And we get to decide where it spends eternity. So there's only two places with God, with our Lord and Savior, or with the other guy that we don't.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You make your own decisions. But gosh, what a waste of a life if you don't know Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus' resurrection, you can live forever and ever and ever. And who knows what God can accomplish right now through you.
Through you. And would you like Sheila to speak at your church or group? Just email her at Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, where are we going now?
Erotic blessing.
Erotic blessing. We'll leave you that tonight. We'll bless you with Yevarecha Adonai v'Yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. See you in 2 weeks. Sports on next week.
Or even sooner, Friday, April 15th.
Oh, yes.
Chester
Come
Christian
and join
Center,
us.
7
Come
p.m.
and join us.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.